Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, you may be seated. It's an honor and a thrill to be with you, to see so many familiar faces and new faces. Praise the Lord. I'm honored to have my wife with me, my better half. Honey, go ahead and see how blessed I am to have you. See, that's living proof. If you'll just love God, serve God, He'll give you the desires of your heart, and you'll marry way beyond your own natural ability. And so, praise the Lord. Well, it's an honor. It's a privilege. I've been looking forward to being with you and having this time together. And whenever I go into one of the family churches, I always like to tell off a little bit. First of all, let's tell off on the Holy Ghost. We at the family churches just don't do it because it's a good idea. Hey, we have nothing better to do, nothing good's on Netflix. Let's go start a church. No, we endeavor to hear from heaven and do what heaven says. And I'm sure Pastor Mike has told the story. I was minding my own business. I was probably praying at the time, minding my own business, and I have a vision. I'm not only operating in the office of a pastor, but I have other ministry equipment. I have a vision. One of my offices is given to visions and revelations. And in this vision, I see South Dayton, South Dayton, if you sneeze while you're driving through it, you'd miss it, And the word of the Lord came unto me. A lot of people have their own definition of the word of the Lord. I like the Bible definition of the word of the Lord. Some people say the word of the Lord came to them and maybe they thought something or maybe they heard something, had too much pizza that night. According to the Bible, the word of the Lord is the audible voice of the Holy Ghost. And that comes with the prophet's office. And in this video, I'm seeing South Dayton, the word of the Lord came, the audible voice of the Holy Ghost. And he says this, a great door and effectual will happen in South Dayton. And so I knew by the Holy Ghost that, we'd have a church in South Dayton. And look what the Lord has done. I mean, we started in that storefront. And, that storefront helped and blessed me. I mean, if you could start a church in that storefront, if you've been there, if you saw it before we even did anything to it, you know that God could do anything. And now look what the Lord has done. Praise the Lord. And of course, Pastor Mike and Courtney, their obedience and their faithfulness. And, and I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of intimidated being this pulpit because Pastor Mike is such a wonderful preacher. He's like Joel Osteen with the Holy Ghost, and you can't help but be lifted up. And so I just hope I don't do any damage here this morning. And I also want to say this, love them and take good care of them. I would dare say this, and I've never said this before publicly. They're out of all, I raise up ministers and train ministry. They're the most generous towards Nancy and I, and be generous towards them. I mean, when my kids have birthday, they send gifts to my kids, and just we go on vacation, they bless us, and I want to see them reap that. And I know you guys just did something. I was thrilled when I heard, that you guys on your own heart to bless them. But take good care of them. And I'll tell you this, the more you take care of them, the more will God take care of you. We have the saying, if I'll take care of God's house and God's business, God will take care of my house and God's business. And so, praise the Lord. And last infomercial here. If you're visiting today, if you just started coming to this church, don't let anything that I say or do deter you from coming back. Pastor Mike is a wonderful, and Courtney are wonderful pastors. They're encouragers. This is a place of safety, a place of help. You don't need to worry if you're going to get bad doctrine or someone's going to manipulate money out of you. It's a safe place to grow in grace and, come on back. I operate in other offices and so forth, but I'm not the pastor here. They are. And so if anything, man, I don't understand that or I don't agree with that, fine. I'll be gone. But come back next week. All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But thank you. Thank you. If you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and open them to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. And I always encourage you to bring your Bibles to church if you're not in the habit, especially if you're newer. I came to the church, really, they didn't encourage us at all to bring our Bibles, much less read it. And so, you know, when I got born again, started attending church like this, we saw the value of bringing your Bibles. And that helps you become a participant in the service and not just a spectator. And I know nowadays we have e-devices, i-devices. You know, follow along in those as well. But there's something about looking in your own Bible when your pastor is ministering. And thank God for overhead screens, but there's something about when you bring your own Bible, look in your own book, your own eye device. Very interesting. I said that I'm given to visions and revelations. One time I was mowing the grass, and you know, that's not a very spiritual activity. And I'm mowing the grass, you know, because I can tell you a lot how your house looks, how the outside of the house is a reflection of who lives on the inside. So, you know, I like straight lines, and I just didn't trust anybody cut the front yard of my home, and so I did it by hand. I could do it by mower, but I want those straight lines of making it look excellent as a presentation. And I'm just minding my own business, and as I'm pushing my mower, again, I'm no longer here. I'm in the spirit realm, which is a real realm, and I have a vision. Again, these don't happen all the time, don't happen every day, don't happen every week, but there's as the Spirit wills. And whenever He does that, it's for a purpose to help people. How many know that vision about South Dayton was to help, to establish a work here? Well, in this vision, I saw my leaders in the Fredonia Church, so we're not incriminating anybody here, but I saw that my leaders were not bringing their Bibles to church. They were just simply relying on the overhead screen. And the Holy Ghost showed that to me, saying that He wasn't exactly pleased with that. And so we have the overhead screen, so that's nothing wrong with that, because you have new people. You have newcomers. You know, if pastor says turn to the book of Leviticus, no one's going to know where the book of Leviticus is. And so it is good and right that you have these things and so forth for baby Christians, for newer Christians and so forth, or maybe that day that you forgot your Bible. But why did He show that? Because He wants people to come to be participants in the service and to receive. And Brother Hagin, which is my spiritual father, Kenneth E. Hagin, he had a great healing ministry. And again, this is not my message, so don't take it away from my time. You ever go to the movie theater? You ever go in the movie theater? And, you know, they just don't show you the main feature. They have all these little clips coming soon. You know, and there's about four or five of them. Then after about 20 minutes of the four or five of them, then the main feature comes. That's how I preach. And so I'll see things in my spirit just to try to help people. But this is not my message. You know, this is one of those little clips. Brother Hagin, who had a great healing ministry, would have like a 3-week to even up to 9-week revival, just teaching on healing and faith in order to build faith in people to receive healing. And he said this, he's had people come up to have hands laid on them 20 times and yet not receive their healing. And he kept saying, bring your Bible. Because these were businessmen, you know, they were busy, they just got off from work, but they just didn't bother bringing their Bible. And he kept saying, bring your Bible. And he said this, he said that some of them, the day they brought their Bible was the day they got healed. Now, it isn't just the act to bring your Bible, but they looked up the Scriptures. The Bible says, if you read in the ministry of Jesus, that they came to hear Him and to be healed. When they desired and hungered the Word and put great emphasis on the Word and says, teach me, Lord. That's when healing comes. That's when faith comes. That's when prosperity comes. So just, again, a little infomercial, not my message, but it will help you and bless you. You know, I just have one shot at you here, and so I want to get as much to you as I can. Did I tell you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6? Let's pray. Father, we're so honored, delighted to be here. We thank You for this church. You said it. You have established it, and we rejoice in it. Look what You have done. And this is just the beginning, I heard the Spirit of the Lord say. Just the beginning. If it could be told you, if you could see over the horizon of time that which I have ordained for you, you surely would shout and dance about. For this is just the beginning. This is just the small phase of your ministry, Pastor Mike. Just the beginning. And as you're going to walk in more and more, as you grow in grace and walk with me, saith the Lord of hosts, I'm going to enlarge the board of your tent. And from this place shall other places be established. Other deposits of truth and ministry will come forth from this place. Not only from you, saith the Lord, but those who sit underneath you. For you are called to be a father of the faith. You are called to raise up others, and people will grow underneath your ministry, saith the Lord. And you will be in a place where people look to you for wisdom and counsel as you've looked to your father in the faith. And so this, and mark this, saith the Lord, it shall surely come to pass in these days. Amen. Now, what is that? Well, I operate in that office of the prophet. I come just to teach a simple Bible lesson. But, you know, when you get in here, is as the Spirit of God's will, there's such a liberty and a freedom of the Spirit here. And so that's usually a good indicator when I start talking about a bunch of little messages before I get my message, that the Spirit of God has free course to deliver whatever He wants. How many know we want what the Spirit of God wants? Amen? Well, the Holy Ghost interrupted my prayer. So let's just go ahead and we let Him. I like being interrupted by the Holy Ghost. Ephesians chapter 6. And a very familiar verse of Scripture. And does anybody have a clock, a watch? I don't want to preach too long. Yes. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Usually I travel with my associate, and he knows always to bring a clock. Because when I preach, I'm anointed, but you're not necessarily anointed to listen. And so in the anointing, there's no time. I could speak an hour, it seemed like 10 minutes. And if you're not anointing the seats, when I speak an hour, it'll seem like 5 hours. And so I don't want to do that to you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And of course, here the Word of God talks about prayer. And this is something very interesting, praying always. Now, we could try to take that literally. If you could just set that right on noon, that would help me. You look at it, how can you pray always? Well, I don't think it's talking about every minute, or even every hour or praying, but just every day pray, a lifestyle praying. You eat always, don't you? Yeah, you get up. You probably had something to eat this morning. And then, after the service, no doubt, you're going to go and have something to eat. And then supper will come, and you'll eat then. Then some of us, before you go to bed, you're going to just have to a little snack, And some of us have little snacks between meals. You can almost say that you eat always. And some of us, it really shows how well we're doing that, right? But I believe that's what it's talking about there. It's not talking about every minute, every day, but just, having a lifestyle of prayer. And I'm sure some of us have done this with food. We've skipped a meal because we were busy or at work, or maybe you were sick or something, and you skipped a day. And when you skipped a day, you felt it, when you didn't eat. And what'd you do after, maybe you were sick or something? You start eating again, and then you get back to health. I believe this is what this is talking about. It's just having a life of prayer, praying always. If you haven't been praying, go ahead and pick it back up. It'll do you well. And so my assignment of late, we're big on thus saith the Holy Ghost, what the Holy Ghost is saying. And praying and seeking God, Lord, what do you want us to do? What do you want us to say? And more my voice is given to not only speak to the family churches, but for a region and in the body of Christ as well, more and more. And ever since 2017, which is a few years ago, the Holy Ghost has been telling me to get the church to pray more. And actually what he said is this, because I've been praying about the last day move of God, about His work in the earth, about the family churches, and the Holy Ghost keeps saying, the church's part and your church's part is to pray in these last days. And so if you've been to any of my meetings, you know, camp meetings or Holy Ghost meetings, it will always have an emphasis of prayer. And if you can talk to Pastor Mike, any of my pastors, when we get together, I will always emphasize prayer in their lives and just to come up higher. And I've always been a person of prayer. I mean, ever since I was 19 years old, I heard a tape about praying in the Holy Ghost at least an hour a day, and I've done that. I mean, to me, an hour a day is like, you know, the bare minimal allowance for a Christian. That's just to me personally. That's not to be bondage. You know, back when we were kids, I know some of you young folk won't understand this, we didn't have eye devices. When we had cereal, we read the cereal box. How many remember that? The front, you know, honeycombs. The back would have some games. And you can only read that for so long. Then you look at the sides and you look at the nutritional things, and it would say the daily minimal allowance. You know, vitamin A, B, C, D, 10%, 30%. And so, you know, to me, when Jesus said, could you not tarry an hour, pray an hour, I just think that's minimal. You know, again, everybody's different, you know, with that. But just to let you know, I've always been a person of prayer. And, you know, honestly, usually if I've not prayed 3 or 4 hours a day, I'm not myself. But that's because of the ministry. The apostles have to give themselves to ministry of the word and prayer, prayer and ministry of the word. And so that's because it has to do with my calling in my office. And to teach that as something every Christian should do, that would be bondage. And so we all are different levels of growth. And so all of us have a part to play. And I just know me personally, I have to give myself more to prayer in order for some of my offices to operate. But so I said all that just to say this, that I've always been a person of prayer. You know, praying, I've been known as a prayer person, you know, in the body of Christ. But, you know, since 2017, you know what He's been saying to me? Pray more. My wife can test. Pray more. And I says, really? You know, and I want to say, and what's all this I've been doing? You know, but you have to understand, if you always do what you always done, you always get what you always got. In order to get more, you have to give in more, pray more. You know, it's the same thing if you go for a run or a walk. If you every morning walk 5 minutes in one direction, you're going to see the same scenery. And if you do that for 20 years, that scenery isn't going to change. You know, a few things may change. You know, a building may go up, someone forgets to cut their grass, someone gets a dog, you know, but it's minor. You know, kind of boring. But you know, if you were to, instead of walk 5 minutes, start walking 10 minutes, I mean, that extra 5 minutes, you have a brand new view. Wow, I've never seen this before. I mean, it whets your appetite and says, I wonder if I walk another 5 minutes, what I will see out there. You know, the same things in prayer. You know, and, you know, so part of my job and my calling by the Holy Ghost is to stir people to pray. And so we're going to talk about prayer and obedience to the Holy Ghost. And so here it says to pray always. And so why pray? I mean, what good is prayer? Why do we need to pray? I know there's some newer folks here, and, you know, pastor teaches the people real well. But if you're newer here, it's important that you pray, because unless you pray, God can't really do anything in the earth. John Wesley, that great founder of the Methodist Church, had a great revival. It just swept England and around the world, affected the world. He said this. He said, it seemed like God can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks Him. So here this great man who knew God, that swept literally tens of thousands of people in the kingdom and established the Methodist Church and so forth, he understood that, you know, everything he did, everything he said, he says that God really is limited by our prayer life. If people don't ask God, God can't do anything. And so, you know, maybe you're newer here and says, that isn't right. God is sovereign. But that's why it's important to get in the Bible, and especially have the Bible taught to you like your pastor here. We understand this, and I know you're well taught that when God made Adam and Eve, He made the earth and the fullness thereof. And if you read in Genesis 1:26 that God gave man dominion. Here God created the earth, everything in the earth, and he said to man, meaning mankind, mankind is man, male and female, He said, I give you dominion over everything. The earth, everything, the animals, plants, all the resources, and the word is dominion. What God more or less did is, here Adam, here's the key to the earth. All right? And see, what happened is that when man sinned, he handed that dominion over to Satan. That's why there's wars and famine, sickness and disease. I mean, no, God didn't create all that. And it's like this. And see, because what Adam did was a legal thing, not a moral thing, but a legal thing, God just could not, after He gave the keys to Adam, Adam gave it to Satan, God just couldn't come in there and do His own thing, or Satan couldn't accuse Him of being unjust, and God can't be unjust. It's like this. I'll use my brother here, and I'm not going to do it. If I gave my dear brother Jeff the keys to my car and signed a title, says, this is my car, it's illegal, it's your car, and He gave you the keys. All right? I mean, you know, that's a legal thing. All right? It's now his possession, not mine. Now, I'm going to pick on you. Let's just say you came up and you guys were going to have a poker hand. And you know, we don't teach on gambling and lottery and stuff like that. We believe in faith. But just say you got in cahoots here. And you got in a poker game and you thought you had a hot hand. And you put the title and the keys in the pot. And you had a good hand, but he had a better hand. And he won that poker hand and he took it all. Legal. And because of that, you legally signed it over the card to him, right? So it went from me to you to him. I couldn't just say, what are you doing riding that car? I gave it to him. And if I were to break in that car or take that car, I would be a thief. It'd be illegal. And see, you have to understand that. God is just. And what he did to Adam was a legal thing. And Adam legally gave it to Satan. That's why if you look in your Bible, 2 Corinthians 4:4, that Satan became the god of this world. That's why there's wars and diseases and a bunch of crazy people in the world. God didn't create that way. He gave that dominion to man, and man gave it to Satan. And so God just cannot come and say, bless God, I'm going to do my thing. God needs someone down here to ask him. And so, a lot of times we think, why isn't God doing anything? Because you didn't ask Him to do anything. He cannot do anything unless you ask Him. And so it's important to pray. If you want to see things done, you got to ask God. And, and another reason why we should pray, and I'm just giving, laying the foundation, then we're going to get to what the Lord told me to share. James 5:16, you don't need to turn there for the sake of time, but it says this, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. For the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now notice this, and I'm glad you got that up there, that when people pray, it avails much. Things happen when people pray. I love the Amplified Bible. Your pastor quotes quite often from the Amplified Bible. Now, this is what the Amplified says. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. And not only does it get God involved, but when you pray, it makes power available for people to tap into. And I like that, dynamic. You know where that word dynamic comes? The word dynamite. You know what dynamite does? It blows up stuff. It moves stuff. And see, when you become a person of prayer, you're dynamite to the devil and to his works. You blow up things and you allow God to move on the scene. People are sick. God can show up in their life. People that are in darkness and don't know where they're going, you bring light to them. You bring change to them. You blow up the works of Satan. And so this is all through the vehicle prayer. And there's many things we could share of these verses, but I'm on divine assignment. Wherever I go, I ask the Lord, I pray, I seek God, Lord, what do you want me to share wherever I minister? I just don't have any canned sermons. I want, what saith the Holy Ghost? And so I've come with a special assignment for this morning from heaven. And the Holy Ghost specifically told me and directed me to teach you and to encourage you concerning praying for your pastor and his ministry. Now, I know that many of you do that. I want to encourage you, for those that you do, those of you who do, maybe some of you haven't, to begin starting. And also those that you have been praying, remember the 5-minute walk. You know, if you keep doing the same thing, you're going to get the same thing. But man, you just double that 5-minute walk, there's going to be a whole lot more in that 10-minute walk than you'll never see in 5 minutes. How many know you've seen a whole lot of good things come through your pastor? But what would happen if you all doubled up? All doubled up. What he'd be saying, what he'd be doing. And, you know, and we heard what the Holy Ghost said. It was the plan of God, you know, about increase and enlargement. Praise the Lord. Well, we want that all to come to pass. Amen. Now, look at this. This text that we started with, Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly, make known the mystery of the gospel. For I'm ambassador in bonds, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So notice this, the Apostle Paul encouraged the church to pray. Pray for everybody. Pray for, and we know this, pray for your kings, those in authority. But after he tells the church to pray, encourage them to pray always, notice what he tells them specifically how to direct some of their praying. He says, and pray for me, the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is telling the church, when you're praying, pray for me. Now it's very interesting. You study about the life of the Apostle Paul. I mean, number one, he was an apostle. I mean, his conversion experience, Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. Jesus sent him to the Gentiles. And we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that this same Apostle Paul was caught up to heaven and got a tour of heaven and received revelation from heaven to give to the earth. And he said it was unlawful for me to the other. I mean, what heaven showed me, I couldn't just get it all on the earth. And so you figure, with Jesus appearing to him in his conversion experience, I mean, being caught up to heaven, and you read the book of Acts, is the ministry he had, you figure he's pretty well set. I mean, man, God just blessed him, graced him, you go, Paul. And, you know, that he has everything he needs to accomplish his ministry. But here he said, when you pray, pray for me. Well, what to pray for? He said that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, make known the mystery of the gospel, that I'm ambassador, as an ambassador in bonds, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So he asks the church, when you're praying, pray for utterance for me. I mean, no doubt he had great messages. No doubt he had great revelation, but he's saying, church, when you're praying, you've got to pray for me, that I'll be able to speak as I ought to speak boldly and have utterances. And so if the Apostle Paul, we could say it this way. Remember what John Wesley said? It seems like God can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks him. It seems like Paul couldn't say certain things, couldn't communicate certain things, couldn't do certain things in the ministry unless people prayed for him. This mighty apostle of God. Utterance. And so, you know, your pastor is an amazing speaker. I mean, I hear him speak and I feel intimidated. You know, like, I got to get up after that. And amazing, you know, like Paul, you know. He's got something to say. But he can never say as he ought to say. He can never reveal by the inspiration of Spirit as He ought to be revealed by the Spirit of God unless the church prays. And specifically, this church prays. And the Spirit of the Lord keeps telling me, get them to pray more. He's saying some of you pray, but to pray more. And you know, when you say pray, it's kind of interesting when you say pray, because everyone has their own definition of prayer. You know, in our society, prayer is like McDonald's and Burger King. You know, we go up to the drive-thru, and you know what we do? Put in our order, and we want it without mayo, extra pickles, whatever. And then we go to the pickup window, and it better be ready. And man, if we have to wait 5 minutes, we're fuming about that. And that's the extent of many people's prayer lives. And not wrong when you're starting that way. But if that's all the way you pray, now God, remember Pastor Mike, bless him. That's only like a 3-step prayer. Thank God. It's better than no step prayer. It's better than say, God, judge them, send them to hell, you know. But how many know that let's just say, will not have so much power available. How about that? Is that a sweet way of saying it? You know, but you know, like anything, little effort, little power. More effort, more time, more power. And you know, and so praise the Lord. And that's what we want. Well, you know, and then, you know, when we say prayer, you know, throughout the Lord bless them. Just to pray, Lord bless Pastor Mike, really will do no good. Because God's blessed him. Ephesians 1, 3 says, God has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So, you know, when you're a baby Christian, that's okay. But Paul didn't say, to have the churches pray for me and leave it there. He said, no. He's not going to give it by chance. I'm going to tell you how to pray and how to pray effectively. Notice this, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. He's telling the church, pray for utterance. Pray for boldness. You know why that's in the Bible? That way you know how to pray for your pastor. And even if you only got Burger King and McDonald's time, because some of you are very busy, but at least make it effective. Don't go up to the drive-thru with God saying, Lord, bless them. Well, God can't do anything with that. But man, you go up to the drive-thru, so to speak, and if it's you have that drive-thru prayer, God, I don't have a lot of time, I got to get to work, but Lord, give Pastor Mike and Courtney boldness and utterance. Man, he can deliver it because that's the will of God. He can work with that. Praise the Lord. And so here Paul asked for prayer. Now turn with me, again, mouth of two or three witnesses. That means we just don't want to take one scripture and establish truth. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And verse 1. Again, this Paul wrote this to a different church. The first church we read there was in the church of Ephesus. So he told the church of Ephesus, pray for me. Now notice this different church. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable wicked men, for all men have not faith. Here again, Paul is telling the churches, pray for me. And not only pray for us like a drive-thru prayer, but he tells them how to pray. He says, pray for me that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. Again, that sounds like utterance. What are you saying? That I have freedom to speak, that it may flow and I can give out what the Lord gave me. Amen. See, brothers and sisters, you have more part of the service than the pastor does. If you read in Mark chapter 6, Jesus went to his hometown called Nazareth. His hometown. Whenever you want to do good, you want to do in your hometown, your cousins and your friends to see you. And it said in Mark chapter 6 that he couldn't do anything there. It didn't say he didn't want to. It didn't say he was ticked at those people. He wanted to do good. He just couldn't. There was nothing that he could do in his hometown. Now, think about this. God wanted to do something in Nazareth. God doesn't have a bad off power day. God's not sure. God just said, man, I just don't have it today. Come back tomorrow. He never grows weary or weak, the Bible says. And Jesus had the fullness of the Spirit of God. What does that mean? You can't get any more of the Holy Ghost than Jesus had. He was on top of his game. So here we have God, and we have Jesus, the preacher, with the fullness of the Holy Ghost, wanting to do something in church that morning. And God, Jesus, couldn't do anything. Because people, they were apathetic. Oh, I'm going to see what he's got to say today. You know, what was he to tell me that? You know, and here God and Jesus couldn't do anything in church. So what am I doing? I'm trying to establish a truth that you have a whole lot more in the ministry of Pastor Mike and Courtney than you think of what is said, what is done. You know, and so it's so vitally important. And Paul is stressing that. Now notice this. Again, boldness and utterance. You know, I've gone some places and I'd have a message from heaven. And I'd stand behind the pulpit and I couldn't say anything. Not that my mouth was dumb. There was no doors of utterance. There was no liberty. I just couldn't get it out. And therefore, God couldn't really say what he wanted to say. Why? The people wouldn't allow it. How do you do? Well, one of it is by praying. And also there's an honor issue and being hungry for the Word of God. And that's why he said, let be freedom. I mean, there's times when I preach and it's like taking a canoe. You know, I mean, canoes are supposed to be in the water. And in the water goes nice and smooth, especially with a current and a flow. Woo! But it was like that. We weren't in the water. We were hauling that thing. Uphill. And after you speak, I mean, you just want to go take a nap. You just wore out. And say, well, the preacher, we didn't pray through. I've been praying through. I prayed 3 hours before her service, and man, I had those experiences because it's not up to the preacher only. It's not up to the preacher only. And so here, he says, pray for us. You know, for utterance. Not just natural utterance, but things said by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Having a greater flow. And I remember something Kenneth Hagin. I refer to Kenneth Hagin a whole lot. He was my spiritual father. You know, I heard Pastor Mike say anything he learned, it's with me. Everything that I know is because of Brother Hagin. And anything I don't know, it isn't his fault. I mean, you know, I just didn't learn that. But he said this. He stood in the forefront of the prophet's office, and he was a voice to a generation. He was called from his mother's womb with a supernatural, spectacular ministry. There'll never be another Kenneth Hagin. But he said this. He'd have certain people pray for him. Maybe you've heard of him, Mr. Halverson and Sister Wilkerson. Some people around him that were a supply to him in prayer. Now, these people just didn't pray drive-through prayer. I mean, they would spend hours praying for him. And he was able to say things by the Spirit and do things by the Spirit. But he said this, when they died, we're not going to live forever. They got older and went home to be with Jesus. But he said this, ever since they left, there was a void in my ministry. It was almost like I couldn't go no further because the road wasn't paved in prayer. Yeah. Now, I've known that, and my church has known that. And, you know, I operate in more than one office, but I've stood right at the precipice, ready to see into the future and declare the word of the Lord. I stepped there, but I couldn't do it because there's no prayer. Prayer paves the path or makes tracks for the plan of God to move forward. Prayer lays tracks for boldness, utterance, and opportunities. And it's just not the pastor praying, it's the church praying that will make that happen. Because Paul knew that. Paul knew that unless church prays, there's certain things I can't say. There's certain things I can't do. I need you to pray. And so, now, are we seeing something? We got to pray. Let's, just in case you're in doubt, turn with me another scripture. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Now, very interesting. Paul had said, an utterance be given unto me. But right underneath there, now this is a filler while you're turning, you know, I don't want to waste time. He said this, that I may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Not only are we to pray for boldness and utterance for your pastor, but Paul prayed, asked him, pray, that I'd be delivered from unreasonable wicked men. You do know that whenever a preacher preaches and has the grace of God, like, let's say Pastor Mike was sent here by the Holy Ghost, South Dayton, and you see the work, and it's starting other works and stuff like that. You know, when that happened in the spiritual realm, the devil just isn't going to say, oh man, I lost South Dayton. Wherever he goes, I'm going to lose out. I guess I'm just going to go somewhere else. No. Even the great apostle Paul said there was a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, not of God, Satan, to buffet him, to try to withstand him in ministry. And here Paul knew this, that when the church prayed, that you can deliver your pastor from unreasonable people. Yeah. You know, even last week we got phone calls of someone wanting us to talk to Pastor Mike about complaints about the church. Well, I don't listen to unreasonable and wicked people. No matter how sweet they may be, you know. You know, Satan will try to use people. Yes. He will try to use people in the church. You do know this. If anybody starts complaining about your pastor in the church, they're being influenced of Satan to divide the church. They are a messenger of Satan. And unfortunately, churches have been split by evil people. Christians, evil Christians. Are there such thing as evil Christians? Evil Christians are those that split churches, speak evil about their pastor, talk behind the pastor's back. According to Paul, those are evil people. And your prayer can deliver him from evil people. That way he can preach the gospel, not trying to keep people at peace. You know, and your prayers can give him favor. You know, buying buildings. You know, with zoning boards and contractors, you know, that to have favor with them. Your prayers do this. And so there is no spectators in this church. You're just much part, and even more important part than the pastors are. And so I said all that until you found Romans chapter 15. So we've looked at a bunch of different... We saw Ephesus, the church of Thessalonians, now this church at Rome. Notice this. When I therefore have performed this, I've sealed them this fruit. I will come to you in Spain. And I'm sure when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of blessing of the gospel of Christ. So he's telling the Rome. He says, I'm going to come to you next. And man, when I come, I want to have church. I want to speak as oracles of God. I want the full measure of all that God has for that service. When we're with you, I want God to be God and to say what He wants to say, do what He wants to do. So that's what He's saying, right? And verse 30 tells us how that's accomplished. Now I beseech you or beg you or urge you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and love the Spirit. Not even for my sake, but for God's sake. You ever heard that? That's what he's done for God, wanting to do something in those meetings, that you strive together with me in your prayers. So here Paul is saying, I want to come, man. I want to have church. I want to say what God wants me to say, do what I want to do, but I need you to strive. He didn't say just casually. He means strive. Get in there and pray. Strive together with me in your prayers to God. And notice this, again, that I may be delivered them that do not believe in Judea, and my service which I have in Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. Now again, delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Now notice verse 32. That I may come with you with joy in the will of God and may be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you. Again, Paul is saying, when I come, if you'll pray for me, for utterance, for boldness, man, we'll come the fullness of the blessing of God. If you'll pray, all the people that are against my ministry, that put newspaper articles speaking against me, those voices will be silenced if you will pray. All right, I'll say this now. I'm fixing to close. You know what that means? Absolutely nothing. Turn with me to Acts chapter 12. Again, this is what the Lord gave me, specifically told me, you teach this, you tell them this. So I'm just the messenger boy. You know, one news agencies have this little logo. We report, you decide. All I'm doing is reporting. You decide what you do with this. So don't shoot the messenger. How many know I'm here to help? I'm here, and you know, you have a wonderful pastor. There's so much more the Lord wants to get him into. But he alone cannot do it. All right, have you found Acts chapter 12? Okay. Why some of you are still turning, and even if you're not turning, I want you to listen. Like I said, I've always been a prayer. You know, the Bible says, if any man's afflicted, James chapter 1, pray. I've always relied on my own prayer life, not on others. You know, I pray for hours, and God has taught me some things of prayer. Not boasting, it's just truth. And I've always done my own praying and prayed a whole lot. But in ministry, there are certain phases. Certain phases are certain places that God has. It's sort of like in your race, certain places where God wants to get you, and it goes up. And I've always prayed a lot. But the Lord gave me a vision. Again, I don't ask for these things. And I saw this back a couple of years ago, many years ago, a few years ago. Probably 2013 or so. Or it might even be before that. I saw a racetrack. The Bible says, run your race with patience. And I saw that I've already completed 3 laps. And I knew there were 3 phases of my ministry. And what I understood, and hopefully I'll find out when I stand before Jesus, I ran them well. I completed those 3 laps. But the 4th lap that I was to run, it wasn't as smooth and easy. I mean, I didn't think they were smooth and easy before. There was this big, dark mountain on the track. Slimy, gooey, ugly. And I knew I had to pass over this mountain in order to get what God had for me on the other side. And so, of course, like always, I want to go run up it. I slid down, tried to run up it again, you know, like a greased pole. And man, I did everything. I tried to stick my hands in, and as I did, I would always lie down. Then kept doing this, and all of a sudden I saw books on these mountains, and I grabbed those books and kind of used like pegs to stick in, and I was able to get a little bit further up that mountain. But I couldn't get over it, and it happened several times. And I remember in the spirit, in the vision, I was crying. I said, help me, help me, help me. And the vision ceased. I said, oh boy, that don't look good. But it came to pass. It came to pass. I knew exactly when it happened. It was April the 15th. I was going to start into my 4th phase. And I prophesied for 20 minutes. You know, just a breakthrough. I knew that I was to begin my fourth phase of ministry, and all hell broke loose. I've always been a strong person, very unemotional person. And my wife will tell you, there's times I just cried like a baby. The oppression and the attacks that came against me. It's like this. You can listen to loud music for a second or two, and you'd be all right. But if you listen to loud music, I mean blaring loud for 24 hours a day for weeks and weeks and weeks, I mean, that will wear you. And in the realm of spirit, my sensitivities were so enlightened that everything, I mean, the oppression, and I mean, it was just so loud all the time. There's just the weight. And I did everything I could to break it off. I've slain many demons and helped many people, but I just couldn't break it off of me. And then my wife would tell, sometimes I just cried like a baby, cried. And I understood what Paul said. Remember, Paul said this three times. I asked the Lord this would depart from me. An assignment, a messenger of Satan to stop Paul's ministry. And but then he kept referring to that vision. And then I saw it, that I will never be able to get over this unless the church prays for me. I my ministry will stop. I'll get no further. It's not up to me. It's up to them. And of course, my church wouldn't know that. And so we'd have midweek services, and maybe some of you were in there. I didn't tell them what was going on. But I would just say, let's pray for him. I'm going to ask you to pray for me. That's all I said. I'm like, no details, because I don't want people counseling me and trying to encourage me, give me sympathy. Sympathy's of the devil. Doesn't help anybody. I need prayer. I don't need sympathy. I need prayer. And I remember we had to have two nights of prayer. Two nights of it. 2 weeks of, you know. And then I remember on the second week, I just had him pray for me again. And the Spirit of God hit me just standing. And I saw that I got up and just got on the other side of that. Amen. Now, I didn't get out of this thing immediately. But I knew that I got over the top. I know it's easier going down than climbing up. Even though it was gooey and icky and so forth, I got another side. But man, I saw the reality. And the Lord showed me the scriptures I'm giving you. Paul could not do anything. He could not enter certain things unless the church prayed. He said, you cannot do things. It's not up to you. Jesus himself couldn't do anything in Nazareth unless the church prayed. All right. Have you found Acts chapter 12? Said all that. Just to give you time in case, you know, you're newer in the Bible. Just in case if you still are not convinced. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Now about this time, Herod the king stretched his hand to vex certain of the church. How many know Herod was unreasonable and wicked? And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. So here, evil and wicked man killed an apostle. Yeah. Bam, took him out. Well, it just must have been the will of God. God is sovereign. That's like saying in any military campaign, United States of America, let's just say we go to war with China. It's the will of America that some of our generals get killed. We want them to get killed, and it's the will of America. No, you need your generals. You need their wisdom, their counsel, and their experience. A death of a general is a detriment to any army. This is what's happening. And because Herod saw it pleased the Jews, proceeded to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Herod said, man, that was easy. Here, I took out an apostle. Bam! No, he's in heaven. No longer can win people to Jesus, get people healed. There's no more ministry, no more fruit. Man, that's easy. I'm going to take Peter out. I'm going to take the number one dog out. And he did. Verse 4, and when he apprehended him and put him into prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth, Peter therefore was kept in prison. But notice this. But prayer was made without ceasing. Not McDonald's and Burger King prayers. Without ceasing of the church of God for who? Him, Peter. The tale of two apostles. James is a mighty apostle just like Peter. The church had this attitude, well, he's an apostle. He's a man of faith. Just do your own preaching, preacher. Believe God, you'll get out. You just watch. God won't let anything happen to him. Satan killed him. Took him out. I believe the church got a wake-up call. Says, man, how easy the devil took out an apostle. We need to pray for Peter. And they prayed without ceasing for Peter. Do you think that prayer did anything? Now, if you know the story, in case if you're newer here, look at this. Verse 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. The keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him and shined in the prison and smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, rise quickly. And the chains fell off of his hands. And the angel said, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. So he did. And he said to them, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And they went out and followed him, and wist not, and he didn't know it was true. It was done by the angel. Thought he had was seen a vision. Because when you're a vision, you don't know what is reality. And when they passed the first and second ward, they came to the iron gate that led out of the city, and it opens up automatically. It's been locked, and the angels open it up. And they go down the street, and once Peter could do his own thing, the angel departed from him. Why didn't God do that for James? He couldn't. God wanted to, but he couldn't. Because there's no reference of church praying for him. The Holy Ghost was very specific that when Peter was apprehended, the church started to pray to God for Peter. And what happened? God sent a supernatural deliverance. And angels were sent, commissioned, make things, do things that Peter himself couldn't do. Supernatural doors and opportunities. Supernatural breakthroughs and deliverances. Why? The church prayed. And you read the end of the chapter. You know Herod, that unreasonable, wicked man that was so persecuting the church? Let's just say another one bit the dust. Divine judgment came on him. The very one that killed James because the church prayed now is taken out of the way. That way the gospel can go with free course. It was not up to James. It was not up to Peter. It was up to the church of God. Brothers and sisters, I've delivered thus saith the Lord. Your pastor's ordained. There's other things in him that you've not quite yet seen. Amen. And the Lord wants to get him into those things. And but he won't get there alone. He can't get there alone. He needs you to pray. Ah. Now, I know I come as a pastor. Ah. Am I allowed to obey God in here? Now, if you're newer here, I'm not pastoring is my lowest office. I do pastor, and God bless those sheep that listen to me. But I have other equipment, and it's for the kingdom. And I must lay hands on you too. I already prophesied over him, but there's impartation. My wife's going to help me over there. Yes. Oh my. Yes. Yes. Yes, I understand, Lord. I understand. Yeah. I mean, we already said some of those things. Yeah. Yeah, I understand. I understand. So, Father, as a sent one called to this region, I lay my hands on these two. In one sense, separate them, as in Acts chapter 13, to the work I've called them. Now, Paul and Barnabas were in the ministry. They were fruitful, but they were separated even to a greater level of ministry. And this morning, by direction of the Holy Ghost, You're being separated even to a higher level, a higher faith. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Together you're in this thing. Even those things that were shared this morning, even a greater part in prayer for your husband and the works given in his charge. For thus saith the Lord, as you give yourself more to prayer, I will show you things to come. Not only concerning ministry, concerning your life, but also your children's lives. Life and death will be held in the balance of some of the things that you pray. And by my, the rewards for you if you obey. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now again, if you're visiting this morning, you may not understand that. Talk to your pastors. That's a little bit of the prophets' ministry. Are there prophets today? Absolutely. But not like the Old Testament. You know, a prophet speaks for the Lord, inspiration of the moment. And everything probably should line up with Scripture. I can't turn these things on and off as the Spirit of God wills. See, I'm torn. I know it, Pastor, you got to be safe here. But when that other office, you can step on over and minister. And but it'd be up to you. I don't want to scare you off. Vittoria, sopatina. Mary Jo, can I minister to you? Yeah. Now, if anything I say it don't bear witness, you just throw it out. I can miss it. But you have a heart for the things of God. And even in this area of prayer, I put out your hands. That there's such a desire in you, and God's going to answer that desire. The fire of God and the Holy Ghost. And in this area of prayer, you're going to find yourself, I know you do pray, but you're going to pray more, and he's going to grow you in some things and teach you some things in prayer. And it isn't for you to minister, it isn't for you to broadcast, but it's going to be like you're on special assignment, just things between you and the Lord. And you're going to take care of kingdom business. But he's just going to entrust some things to you. And you're just going to be really overwhelmed some things that, man, you'd trust something like that to me? Yeah, because you've seen your heart and your willingness. And so, praise the Lord for that. And again, if anything I say doesn't bear witness, you just chuck it out, but hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is this all right, Pastor? And again, if you're newer, come back and you get your pastor back. Yeah. Can I do one more bit of business? And the reason I ask your pastor, even though I'm the overseer, he's in charge of this church. He has perfect right to say, that's enough. I'd sit down, that's enough. You know, he's the boss of this church, not me. Is this helping you? Let me tell you one story and then do what the Holy Ghost just impressed me to do. When I got saved when I was 18, working for the Walkers. Man, they witnessed to me, and I gave them hell for it. I made them pay. The wall and defiance, and I could tell you stories. But because of their persistence in witnessing to me, I got born again. And because I was so full of the devil, within 6 months, my whole family got born again because they saw, that's got to be God. I was a heathen. A good Catholic heathen. And, within a year, I went to Rhema. And, you know, thank God for the Catholics. They taught you some things that I'm grateful for. They believed in miraculous. They believe you go to church or you're going to go to hell. And I stuck with that. You know, I'm grateful for that. But, I didn't know too much about anything. And I remember Brother Hagin, my spiritual father, doing seminars. And he was talking about prayer. And he spoke by the Spirit of God. And he said this, how the Spirit of God is looking through the body of Christ for people to pray. And you know, and again, along the same lines that God can't do anything, He needs people to pray. You know, a lot of times people are looking at God. God's looking at us to pray. We will pray, then God can do certain things, as we saw today. And I was 19 years old. I mean, I didn't know nothing. I was a country boy that, you know, just learned how to tie my shoes. You know, I didn't know much. But I remember sitting at service, and I made a prayer of consecration dedication. And I said this, Lord, I don't understand all that's going on. I'm new at this. And I said this, Lord, you're looking for people to pray. Here am I, Lord. Here am I. And you know what happened? The Lord took me seriously. From that time, He began to teach me about prayer. He began to wake me up in the nighttime and give me assignments to pray. I had no natural teacher. The Holy Ghost taught me these things. Thank God later there's some people I got to pray with and understand these things. But He began to teach me about prayer. And throughout the years, I can tell you people that would be dead today if I didn't pray. Car accidents would happen. Changes and stuff like that. Just simply because a 19-year-old said, Lord, I don't know, but I'll pray. I'll pray. And it's a tremendous problem praying the Holy Ghost. You don't need to be articulate. You say I pray for hours. I can come up 3 minutes with good prayer. And then I don't know what to say. I'm like the rest of you. But praying in the Holy Ghost. And I just pray and pray. And things would change. And I just seem impressed this morning. Now this, don't come up here if you're not serious. But if your heart is drawn to this, and you want to come and stand before God, say, I want to pray for the pastor here. I want to pray for the work of God. I'd like to minister to you and give you a deposit of the Spirit of God if you're interested in that. Anybody who wants to be used in prayer. Now, in prayer, don't get goofy. You know, and this is not something you prophesy, you minister. A true prayer person is a humble person that doesn't, you may not even recognize them. I'm going to ask my honey to pray. And I believe a divine deposit. How about this? If you're an usher, you get at the end. Help out first if you're ushering, because we need ushers. And if you're an able-bodied man, help out. And again, the best way for me to minister, I know some people put their hands on your head. I like your hands because, number one, no one can say I pushed anyone down. You don't need to follow that. But also, there are certain gates, and your hands is one way to minister to your spirit. And I don't want you to pray. I just want you to receive as the Spirit of God. Father, as these have answered the call in obedience to you, Father, the fire of God in Jesus' name. 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 Sister, the fire of God in Jesus' name. 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 And again, if you're newer here, why are they falling? Well, you read about the woman with issue of blood, touched Jesus, power went out of him. The Apostle Paul had the anointing where even when he laid his hands on handkerchiefs or aprons, power went into those cloths and were ministered. The anointing is just like electricity, can be transferred. I'm not pushing these. That's why I want their hands out before me. You don't need to fall to receive something. The fire of God in Jesus' name. 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 Sarah? The fire of God in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Hands out, please. Yes. Now, why to do that? Power. You know, if you stick your finger in an electrical socket, you know, we all have different experiences, but the power of God rushes out like that. It's not a show. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.